grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our healer, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Mark chapter 1. We'll read verses 40 through 45. A leper came to Jesus. He knelt down and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. "I am willing," he told him, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was healed. Then Jesus gave him a stern warning and immediately sent him away. He told him, "See that you do not say anything to anyone. Instead, go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices for your cleansing that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But after the man left, he began to proclaim it widely. He spread the word so much that Jesus was no longer able to enter a town openly, but stayed outside in the deserted places. Yet people kept coming to him from all directions. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. What does this text reveal about Jesus? We've been asking that question each week during the season of Epiphany as we've looked at the various gospel accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus. And one of the challenges of doing a sermon series like this one is to narrow down each text to only two, maybe three important things that the text reveals about Jesus. Because the fact is, for each of the sermons we've done during this season of Epiphany, we certainly could have easily chosen five or six or more things that each text reveals about our Savior. And today's text is no exception. We could focus on the fact that this text reveals, once again, Jesus' power. We could focus on the fact that this text once again proves Jesus is the Son of God. When he does miracles, it's proof that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, God himself. After all, when you read this account, is there any doubt? Who other than God himself could heal with just a word? No doctor, no researcher has ever or will ever be able to cure any sickness or any disease, much less one as life-threatening as leprosy was in those days, by simply saying, "Be clean." And that person then would be instantly, immediately healed. So yes, those are two very important, extremely important things that our text reveals about Jesus. But one of the things I want to focus on today is what is revealed about Jesus in the first few verses of our text. And that is that it reveals that Jesus is compassionate. We've actually seen this before in previous texts we've studied during the season of Epiphany. Jesus is compassionate. I wanted to focus on that fact, on that truth, and let's stop and think about just how incredible that truth is, what it reveals about who Jesus is. Listen again to the words of our text. It says, "Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him," which, according to the law of Moses, would have made Jesus ceremonially unclean to touch a leper. "I am willing," he told him, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was healed. Jesus was moved with compassion and stretched out his hand to this man. The Greek word there is a kind of a funny sounding word, but it's a really neat word. It's a word that means deep sympathy coming from your guts. The word for guts or bowels is actually in that word. The Greeks saw that as the seat of emotion. We in our language and culture would say from deep inside his heart. So it's a word that means to have deep sympathy for someone. Why would Jesus, the all-powerful, holy God, take the time to reach out his hand, reach down to lowly, undeserving sinners? He certainly doesn't have to, right? As true God, no one is forcing him to. He can't be forced to do anything. He is God. He gets to do what he wants. He gets to make the rules. So why does he reach down to us and to other people, to all sinners? It's because of his love. It's because of his great compassion. What an incredible word that is, not just in the Greek, the word that we translate in English, compassion. An incredible word. The construction of it in English literally means to suffer with. Isn't that a perfect description of what Jesus did for us? He came down to this world with its sickness, its disease, its sin, and death, and he suffered with us. More than that, he suffered for us. Jesus has that same compassion for us that he had for this man who was suffering from leprosy. He is always willing to stretch out his hand to help us in the way that he knows is truly best. And we have sure promises from his word that he will do this. The promise that he will work all things out for our good, our true good, no matter what we are faced with in this life. We have the assurance in that same section of the scriptures that if God was willing to give up his own son, Jesus, to save us, he's certainly going to give up everything, or he's certainly going to give us everything that we truly need as well. That brings us to the second thing this text reveals about Jesus that we'll consider today. It reveals that Jesus will only do what is absolutely best for us spiritually. It reveals that Jesus will only do what is absolutely best for us spiritually. This text reveals that very clearly. And it reveals Jesus as the healer. But we need to explain fully what that means. Yes, Jesus healed many, but he was more than that. And he did not want to be known as just a healer, because he came to heal more than just leprosy, sickness, and disease. He came to heal souls from sin. That was one of the reasons that Jesus does something kind of strange in this text. If you read it in some translations, it brings out a little more of the emphasis. Jesus strictly warned the leper, "See that you say nothing to anyone." There's an emphasis there. He did not want this man spreading that he had been healed miraculously by Jesus. Jesus would have rather not had anyone else hear about this miracle rather than having the soul-saving gospel message he came to bring be hindered. The end of our text tells us that when the mobs of people were flocking to Jesus because of the news of this physical healing, it actually did interfere with his ministry of preaching the gospel. That was not a good thing. We read from the last verse of our text that after the man left, he began to proclaim it widely. He spread the word so much that Jesus was no longer able to enter a town, but stayed openly, but stayed outside in deserted places. Yet people kept coming to him from all directions. Yes, his miracles of healing sicknesses and diseases were important to his ministry because they were part of the proof that he was who he claimed to be, that he was the all-powerful Son of God, true God, as he said he was. The healing miracles, however, were never the focus. They were never the purpose for Jesus' ministry. In fact, if you read one chapter later in the Gospel of Mark, you find an account of a miracle that illustrates this perfectly. The account of Jesus healing a paralytic, a man who was paralyzed. Maybe you're familiar with that account. It's pretty famous. His friends had to lower this man through the roof of the house that Jesus was teaching in because it was so crowded with people. And in Mark chapter 2, we're told when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, the first thing he says to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Jesus' main concern was his spiritual healing, that this man knew his sins were forgiven. He's lying there paralyzed, and his first words to him are, "Your sins are forgiven you." in his power and love, then he proves his ability to forgive sins by healing this man physically. The Gospel of Mark chapter 2 goes on to say this, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of all of them, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Do we remember that this is the type of healer Jesus came to be? Or do we have to admit that we are misguided at times? We might have been in that crowd that was following Jesus because, hey, I've got a backache. Jesus can heal me. Let me go see him. Or I've got a sickness I'm dealing with. I'm going to go see Jesus. He'll take care of it. We know that Jesus is the Son of God, true God, and can do all things. So at times, don't we find ourselves getting a bit upset? Maybe impatient with him? Jesus, why aren't you using your almighty power to get me out of this difficult situation? Why aren't you reaching down your healing hand to heal me from this sickness or illness? Or give me the things I am asking for, because I really do need them. I know better. I know I need these things. Well, we also forget then that Jesus is not only all-powerful, but he is all-knowing. He's also all-loving, which means he's only going to do what is absolutely best for us spiritually. That is his main concern. That shows his true love for us. There are, of course, many Christians, people who confess to be believers in Christ, who hold a mentality that if you simply believe enough in Jesus, then any sickness, any disease, or any blessing you want from him, if you ask for it, believing enough, you're going to receive it. After all, they reason that Jesus is all-powerful and he wants to bless you, so just go ahead and name it and claim it and you will receive it. That is not the example of faith that we see in our text. Faith and trust in Jesus is not just believing enough in his almighty power as true God, but it also is trusting and believing that Jesus will always answer our prayers in the way that he, not we, know is best. Think of Jesus' own example. Even he, the Son of God and Son of Man, prayed to his heavenly Father, "Thy will be done." What a perfect example that was. Faith and trust in Jesus means that while we are praying continually to him and persistently to him for things like physical healing or our earthly needs, we're also content and satisfied to live with whatever answer Jesus gives us to our prayers. Look at the example again of the man in our text in the very first verse. A leper came to Jesus. He knelt down and begged him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Notice the humble faith of this man. This is a very good example for us to follow. He acknowledges Christ's power to heal him. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." But he didn't demand this gift from him. He says, "If you are willing." He cast himself entirely on Christ's mercy and his gracious will. As you come here to the worship service today, are you hurting? Are you struggling? Are you dealing with some sort of illness or disease? Are you suffering from some emotional pain or guilt or shame? Reach out to the one who stretched out his hands in compassion for you and me. Stretch them out, reach them out to us, not just to help us, but also to die for us. Stretch out his hands on the cross to take the nails and the spear. Shed his blood to give us forgiveness. To cure us from our eternally terminal illness, the leprosy of sin. Come to him like that leper in our text, confident, knowing Christ's power to heal and relieve. but also come to Him humbly, trusting in His love, trusting His perfect will, that He will only do what is best for us. So yes, Jesus is our healer, but He is more than that. He is our Savior. Always remember that He came to take away our greatest sickness of sin, so that one day He will heal us completely and eternally from every sickness, every disease, every virus, every illness in heaven. There, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.